When the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux tribe was established in 1969, it had just 13 charter members, a few hundred acres of land, and almost nothing else. Most tribe members lived in trailers on gravel roads and subsisted with the help of government farm commodities. But when Congress cleared the way for Indian gambling in 1988, the Shakopee Sioux or Dakota found themselves in a lucrative spot, literally. Unlike most Indian land, which is far from population centers, the Shakopee Reservation is just a half hour from downtown Minneapolis, an easy drive for the region's 2.5 million residents. Mystic Lake, the Shakopee tribe's Las Vegas-style casino and hotel complex, now draws thousands of visitors a day. The tribal government won't talk about its finances, but a former tribal chairman estimates net profits at $150 to $200 million a year. The reservation's roads are paved now, and trailers replaced by split-level suburban-style homes. Tom Cease is director of Dakota Sport and Fitness, the tribe's sprawling $13 million health club. It's open to casino guests and paying customers from nearby towns, as well as tribe members.
We have two full-size gyms. We have three racquetball courts. We have two squash courts. At the upper level, we have a walking, running, and jogging track.
The transformation of the Shakopee Reservation into a wildly successful tourist destination is striking, but the tiny tribe has gained just as much attention for what it does with its casino profits. The tribe distributes most of the money directly to its tiny membership, 110 adults and their children. Adult members say they each get a check for more than $27,000 before taxes every 2 weeks. Industry experts say no other tribe in the country gives its enrollees as much money just for being members. Tribal Chairman Stanley Crooks declined to be interviewed for this report. His cousin, Vice Chairman Glenn Crooks, sums up the leadership's response to questions about the tribe's wealth.
It's just nobody's business what we do with their money. Somebody wins a lottery out there, we don't go to their house and say, well, how do you spend your money?
But a few Shakopee Mdewakanton members have been trying for 4 years to bring the scrutiny of outsiders, the federal government in particular, to their reservation. 68-year-old Winifred Fieser has spent large chunks of her share of casino money on attorney's fees. She's been trying to stop the tribal leadership from adopting new members who she says don't meet the tribe's blood requirement.
Our constitution and bylaws did not say forever nationality. It didn't say for every tribe. It specifically said Mdewakanton people, a quarter blood.
The tribal constitution requires that members have one-fourth Mdewakanton Dakota blood. Tribal leaders don't dispute that they've adopted dozens of members with less than the one-fourth blood quantum. Vice Chairman Crooks says most of the adoptees are children of enrolled members.
The constitution allows for provision for people to be adopted. By their very adoption, that makes them constitutionally qualified members of the tribe.
Crooks says if the tribe stuck to the letter of its constitution, it would soon run out of members because few people meet the one-quarter blood requirement. But Fieser says the Crooks government has denied membership to about 100 qualified Mdewakanton Dakota, including some of her cousins, because she says they're not relatives or political allies of Chairman Crooks.
I called it Crooksville and they got awfully upset over it. But it's true. If you're a Crooks, you've got it made. And so therefore, I think it ought to be not called Mdewakanton. Take that name off. We are no longer Mdewakanton. And so I think the government needs to step in and help us to do what's right, do what's honest.
Fieser insists she's concerned about democracy and tribal integrity, not money. But she says the Shakopee tribe is paying $50 million a year to people who don't qualify as tribal members and withholding millions from people who do qualify. Fieser and several other members sued in federal court, charging violations of federal Indian gaming law. A district judge in St. Paul and the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals rejected the suit, saying federal courts have no say in tribal membership disputes. Fieser has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to review the case. Tribal officials deny they use double standards in choosing members, but staff attorney William Hardacker says the tribal government can use its own discretion, no matter what its constitution says.
It's an inherent right of an Indian tribe to determine its membership, and just because someone may qualify to be a member of the tribe doesn't grant them automatic rights to be a member of that particular tribe.
The U.S. Interior Department has vacillated on the Shakopee case. Several times, federal officials rejected the tribe's efforts to change its constitution or its enrollment rules, saying unqualified members voted for the changes. But the Shakopee government kept trying, and the Interior Department recently let stand a tribal ordinance that allows the tribe to adopt new members whether or not they meet the constitutional standards. An Interior Department spokesman told NPR he couldn't find anyone who could talk knowledgeably about the Shakopee case. When pressed, the spokesman said the department wouldn't comment on the dispute because of pending litigation.
Doesn't anybody care about integrity? I mean, if you have a law, don't you want to follow your law?
Former Shakopee Tribal Chairman Leonard Prescott was voted out of office in the early 1990s after presiding over the construction of Mystic Lake Casino. The Crooks government later removed Prescott's daughter from the tribal membership rolls. Prescott says that move was part of a vendetta against him. Tribal leaders say Prescott's daughter didn't file the proper documents for membership. Prescott spent 3 years suing the tribe and the federal government over the membership dispute, but he gave up a year ago. He says he couldn't compete with the Shakopee government and its high-powered Minneapolis and Washington, D.C. law firms. Prescott accuses federal officials of washing their hands of the dispute rather than fighting the rich tribe.
And I don't know that people really looked at that or cared about Indian people and care about their laws. They're just a small part of the society that we live in. And so if you overstep or step on somebody's rights in Indian country, does it really matter? I don't think so.
Prescott says it may take several generations for the Shakopee tribe to reach maturity, as he puts it, to build enough checks and balances to operate by the rule of law instead of factional politics. Tribal Vice Chairman Glenn Crooks says if any Shakopee Sioux members don't approve of their leaders, those members should stop cashing their biweekly checks. For Minnesota Public Radio, I'm John Bewin.